Good morning, it's 7:30. I'm Gwyneth Sport in Morgantown. On this West Virginia morning, one of our very own here at West Virginia Public Radio has a slippery report.
Well, I made it. Lots of spinning, but I made it.
This story coming up, but first, this NPR news. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Glynis Board. The prescription-only pseudoephedrine bill is making its way through both chambers of the legislature, but seems to be stalled behind the chemical leak legislation in the House. Ashton Morrow reports the Senate, however, is ready to put the bill to a vote early next week.
Members of the Senate Judiciary Committee debated the bill during a three-hour meeting. The bill's sponsor, Senator Greg Tucker, says only one amendment was offered to allow someone to possess up to 3.6 grams of the medication.
The problem with that is 90% of the people in the state of West Virginia don't buy or did not buy pseudoephedrine last year. That left 10% who did buy it. Of that 10% who did buy it, 70% bought 3.6 grams. So essentially what that did is it would make no change in the usage of pseudoephedrine. The people who use it illegally would still have that opportunity.
The amendment failed and the bill was passed through the committee unanimously, which Tucker says he was glad to see.
There were five meth lab busts in Nicholas County this week, my home county. This is very much needed. I regret that it has come to this, but there are no options. There are just no alternatives at this point.
The bill will be on first reading today with the ability to amend Monday. Immediately following the floor session, a subcommittee met to discuss Senate Bill 252, which would allow certain students to return to school upon the completion of juvenile drug court. The bill was passed by the Judiciary Committee last week, but some principals were concerned about putting kids back into the same schools. A subcommittee worked on the language, providing the county superintendent shall now be involved in placing a child back in school.
So at the end of the day, does the superintendent have some discretion?
The discretion is to put any school in the district. The superintendent cannot say if the judge determines that the person has completed drug court and is appropriate to be back in school. The superintendent cannot refuse admission to school. He has to place him somewhere. It could be any school in the district, and the idea is that
it could be an alternative school.
It could be an alternative school, right. And the idea is that by consulting with the multidisciplinary team in the court, that the superintendent will have a greater picture of what all the kid has gone through in the drug court.
It doesn't have to be an alternative school. It could be a different school that's not an alternative setting, but more appropriate for the child. Sometimes a change of environment is better for the child.
Right.
Subcommittee members moved the bill to the full committee for its approval. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
In yesterday's House session, one bill on third reading and two bills mentioned in a speech dealt with the health and well-being of West Virginia's children. Aaron Payne reports.
Delegate Tim Manchin explains that House Bill 4237 would protect the health of children from new products alternative to the traditional sources of tobacco.
In their never-ending quest to sate our desire for nicotine, the tobacco industry has come up with new products. One of those are electronic cigarettes and electronic cigars. They also have some dissolving products such as toothpicks and gum and lozenges. This bill simply makes it clear that it's illegal for them to sell those to minors.
The lead sponsor, Delegate Tiffany Lawrence, says the bill will counter tobacco companies' attempts to market toward children.
As most of you know, West Virginia ranks highest in tobacco usage across the country and has one of the highest rates of usage among our young people. Although electronic cigarettes aren't traditional tobacco products as we think of them, the refillable cartridges that are presented on these devices can hold up to as much as much nicotine as two packs of cigarettes. And the marketers of these products directly target our children every single day by offering flavors that we've seen like bubblegum, chocolate, and cherry.
The bill passed unanimously and moves on to the Senate. Delegate Mark Hunt addressed a different issue affecting children, bringing up two bills he has introduced that would protect children from sexual predators.
House Bill 2828, House Bill 2446, that basically addresses a loophole that we have in our code. Right now, if a monster approaches a child for sex and that child in some way refuses, that child is able to get away from that monster, The only thing that we can charge that person under our law is solicitation. And most of the times, you can plea bargain that down. It's a misdemeanor offense.
The bill would increase the offense to a felony. Delegate Hunt introduced similar bills in the previous session, but they did not go through, supposedly because increasing the penalty increases the cost. Delegate Kelly Sabonier rose in favor of the bill and in regard to the cost, brought up a bill on first reading that would increase a misdemeanor to a felony.
On first reading, there's a bill that came out of Judiciary that creates a felony for the theft of a traffic sign. So what's more important than protecting our kids from sex offenders and child rapists? I would say that we need to do this and not adjourn until this bill is put on the agenda and sent over to the Senate and then to the governor.
Delegate Hunt's bills are currently in the Judiciary Committee. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Aaron Payne in Charleston.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning. It's 7:39. Today, several public school systems across the state are still closed, as are several universities and colleges. Some West Virginians are still digging out of deep snow that fell over the last 2 days. Preliminary totals from the National Weather Service include more than a foot in the eastern panhandle and southern West Virginia. American Electric Power's website showed minor outages during the storm. Still, the deep snow created slick conditions, treacherous for driving, and a workout to shovel, but perfect for sleigh riding. Jessica Lilly has more.
The winter storm dumped snow at a steady pace on Wednesday night and into Thursday. The conditions were challenging for road crews to keep just main roads clear. Several public transit systems were closed or delayed. Courts and government offices in many counties didn't open, and in Mercer County, several restaurants and businesses were closed for the day or shut down early because of wintry conditions. Governor Tomlin urged residents to stay home unless absolutely necessary. Like so many West Virginians, Byron Smith spent time in Martinsburg digging out his vehicle.
I have to get my car unstuck so I can go to work tomorrow. I have people waiting on paychecks, and I also have to pay a bill that's due tomorrow, so I feel the pressure to get the job done.
Cynthia Bainham, a retired school teacher, was out with her husband and a snowblower clearing the walk.
It's kind of nasty right now, but I enjoy it. I'm warm outside. I have extra long underwear on, and we have a snowblower, and it's working sufficiently to get all the snow off our great big sidewalk.
There's a pretty good chance that residents across the state are still shoveling out from the winter storm that barreled up the East Coast. The snow might have added work to the daily grind and treacherous road conditions to the daily commute, but it also created perfect conditions for sleigh riding. Students at Concord University enjoyed a day off, as did Mercer County Public Schools, so residents quickly flocked to campus to enjoy a Concord tradition.
My name is Cody Hunniker. I'm a sophomore from Winfield, West Virginia. A lot of college students, a lot of younger kids also. People come, I guess, all around. I mean, you gotta realize most of these people aren't college students. Coming down, sledding down, using trash bags and various other objects. It's just a good time. Concord is just a beautiful place, beautiful campus. There's not much to do around the city, but it's nice here. Being out in the middle of nowhere is beautiful.
My name is Brandon Perdue. I'm a sophomore here at Concord. I'm from Ashford, West Virginia. It's nice so you don't have to like travel all the way to Winter Place, and because no one can get out right now. Like the cars are covered. My car, there's no way I could get out in this, so it's just nice being able to just walk out of our dorm and just have fun. Someone brought out a mattress that they forced them to take it back in.
My name is Sarah Tolley. I'm a freshman here at Concord from Covington, Virginia, and we're here sleigh riding.
And so when they told you, hey, we're going to go sleigh riding on campus, what'd you think?
I was like, oh my gosh, we have to do it. So we got bundled up and now we're here. Morgan totally freaking busted her butt trying to climb up a snow mound.
My name is Morgan Trippett and I'm originally from Parkersburg, West Virginia. And we're out here having a good day for a snow day. I think it's a big thing because, I mean, you get everybody that comes around. I mean, not just us students here, but you get other people from the community. And we're kind of small, so we all kind of get together and we just have a good time. And it's just a lot of fun.
And I couldn't resist giving a sleigh ride a try after a slight nudge.
Oh, gosh. Well, I made it. Lots of spinning, but I made it. That was fun. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jessica Lilly in Athens.
Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn perform City of Refuge on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Came from.
Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn with City of Refuge. You can hear this and more music on Mountain Stage Sunday afternoon at 2 on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Find great stories, photos, and videos, and you can subscribe to our West Virginia Morning podcast. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback at wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at wvpublicnews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio, our news director, Beth Voorhees, and our director is Bob Powell. West Virginia Morning is also produced with the assistance of Cecilia Mason, Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Dave Mistich, and Ashton Mara. And I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown. Good morning.